Today on Commuter Bible, a professional soothsayer, an angelic assassin, a spear-wielding priest, and a talking donkey. It's Numbers chapters 22 through 25 and Psalm 35. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. Sometimes when you're watching a serial drama on Netflix, they'll take an episode to tell a backstory or a spinoff from the main story to give context to the overall narrative. That's exactly what's happening in today's passage. The king of Moab, whose name is Balak, hires a man named Balaam, who is some kind of diviner or priest, to put a curse on Israel. As Balaam goes to visit King Balak, the Lord speaks to Balaam using a donkey. And if the Lord can use a donkey to speak to a man, he can certainly use Balaam to prophesy to the king. Though not from Israel, Balaam faithfully proclaims the Lord's message. Sadly, by contrast, Israel rushes into idolatry as soon as they can. Numbers chapters 22 through 25. The Israelites traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab, near the Jordan, across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was terrified of the people because they were numerous, and Moab dreaded the Israelites. So the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "This horde will devour everything around us, like an ox eats up the green plants in the field." Since Balak, son of Zippor, was Moab's king at that time, he sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, at Pethor, which is by the Euphrates, in the land of his people. Balak said to him, "Look, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the surface of the land and are living right across from me. Please, come and put a curse on these people for me, because they are more powerful than I am. I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed." The elders of Moab and Midian departed with fees for divination in hand. They came to Balaam and reported Balak's words to him. He said to them, "Spend the night here, and I will give you the answer the Lord tells me." So the officials of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam replied to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent his message to me. Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. I may be able to fight against them and drive them away." Then God said to Balaam, "You are not to go with them. You are not to curse this people, for they are blessed." So Balaam got up the next morning and said to Balak's officials, "Go back to your land, because the Lord has refused to let me go with you." The officials of Moab arose, returned to Balak, and reported, "Balaam refused to come with us." Balak sent officials again, who were more numerous and higher in rank than the others. They came to Balaam and said to him, "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Let nothing keep you from coming to me, for I will greatly honor you and do whatever you ask me. So please, come and put a curse on these people for me." But Balaam responded to the servants of Balak, "If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go against the command of the Lord my God to do anything small or great. Please, stay here overnight as the others did, so that I may find out what else the Lord has to tell me." God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "Since these men have come to summon you, get up and go with them. But you must only do what I tell you." When he got up in the morning, Balaam saddled his donkey and went with the officials of Moab. But God was incensed that Balaam was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand on the path to oppose him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing on the path with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the path and went into the field. So Balaam hit her to return her to the path. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow passage between the vineyards, with a stone wall on either side. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord and pressed herself against the wall, squeezing Balaam's foot against it. So he hit her once again. The angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn to the right or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she crouched down under Balaam. So he became furious and beat the donkey with his stick. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she asked Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have beaten me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey,
"You made me look like a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now."
But the donkey said, "Am I not the donkey you've ridden all your life until today? Have I ever treated you this way before?"
"No," he replied.
Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the path with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam knelt low and bowed in worship on his face. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came out to oppose you, because I consider what you are doing to be evil. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. But if she had not turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and let her live." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord,
"I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the path to confront me. And now, if it is evil in your sight, I will go back."
Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam,
"Go with the men, but you are to say only what I tell you."
So Balaam went with Balak's officials. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the Moabite city on the Arnon border at the edge of his territory. Balak asked Balaam,
"Did I not send you an urgent summons? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you?"
Balaam said to him,
"Look, I have come to you, but can I say anything I want? I must speak only the message God puts in my mouth."
So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed cattle, sheep, and goats, and sent for Balaam and the officials who were with him. In the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him to Bamoth Baal. From there, he saw the outskirts of the people's camp. Then Balaam said to Balak,
"Build me 7 altars here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me."
So Balak did as Balaam directed, and they offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak,
"Stay here by your burnt offering while I am gone. Maybe the Lord will meet with me. I will tell you whatever he reveals to me."
So he went to a barren hill. God met with him, and Balaam said to him,
I have arranged 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar.
Then the Lord put a message in Balaam's mouth and said,
Return to Balak and say what I tell you.
So he returned to Balak, who was standing there by his burnt offering with all the officials of Moab. Balaam proclaimed his poem.
Balak brought me from Aram, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, put a curse on Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse someone God has not cursed? How can I denounce someone the Lord has not denounced? I see them from the top of rocky cliffs, and I watch them from the hills. There is a people living alone. It does not consider itself among the nations. Who has counted the dust of Jacob or numbered even 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright. Let the end of my life be like theirs.
What have you done to me? Balak asked Balaam. I brought you to curse my enemies, but look, you have only blessed them.
He answered, Shouldn't I say exactly what the Lord puts in my mouth?
Then Balak said to him, Please, come with me to another place where you can see them. You will only see the outskirts of their camp. You won't see all of them. From there, put a curse on them for me. So Balak took him to Lookout Field on top of Pisgah, built 7 altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak,
Stay here by your burnt offering, while I seek the Lord over there.
The Lord met with Balaam and put a message in his mouth. Then he said,
Return to Balak and say what I tell you.
So he returned to Balak, who was standing there by his burnt offering with the officials of Moab. Balak asked him, What did the Lord say? Balaam proclaimed his poem.
Balak, get up and listen. Son of Zippor, pay attention to what I say. God is not a man that he might lie, or a son of man that he might change his mind. Does he speak and not act, or promise and not fulfill? I have indeed received a command to bless, since he has blessed. I cannot change it. He considers no disaster for Jacob. He sees no trouble for Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and there is rejoicing over the king among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He is like the horns of a wild ox for them. There is no magic curse against Jacob and no divination against Israel. It will now be said about Jacob and Israel, What great things God has done! A people rise up like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion. They will not lie down until they devour the prey and drink the blood of the slain.
Then Balak told Balaam, Don't curse them and don't bless them. But Balaam answered him,
Didn't I tell you? Whatever the Lord says, I must do.
Again, Balak said to Balaam,
Please, come. I will take you to another place. Maybe it will be agreeable to God that you can put a curse on them for me there.
So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the wasteland. Balaam told Balak,
Build me 7 altars here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me.
So Balak did as Balaam said, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Since Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go to seek omens as on previous occasions, but turned toward the wilderness. When Balaam looked up, and saw Israel encamped, tribe by tribe. The Spirit of God came on him, and he proclaimed his poem.
The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eyes are opened, the oracle of one who hears the sayings of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls into a trance with his eyes uncovered. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, your dwellings, Israel. They stretch out like river valleys, like gardens beside a stream, like aloes the Lord has planted, like cedars beside the water. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by abundant water. His king will be greater than Agag, and his kingdom will be exalted. God brought him out of Egypt. He is like the horns of a wild ox for them. He will feed on enemy nations and gnaw their bones. He will strike them with his arrows. He crouches. He lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Then Balak became furious with Balaam, struck his hands together, and said to him, I summoned you to put a curse on my enemies, but instead you have blessed them these three times. Now go to your home. I said I would reward you richly, but look, the Lord has denied you a reward.
Balaam answered Balak,
Didn't I previously tell the messengers you sent me? If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go against the Lord's command to do anything good or bad of my own will. I will say whatever the Lord says. Now, I am going back to my people. But first, let me warn you what these people will do to your people in the future.
Then he proclaimed his poem.
The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eyes are opened, the oracle of one who hears the sayings of God and has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls into a trance with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will arise from Israel. He will smash the forehead of Moab and strike down all the Shethites. Edom will become a possession. Seir will become a possession of its enemies. But Israel will be triumphant. One who comes from Jacob will rule. He will destroy the city's survivors.
Then Balaam saw Amalek and proclaimed his poem.
Amalek was first among the nations, but his future is destruction.
Next he saw the Kenites and proclaimed his poem.
Your dwelling place is enduring. Your nest is set in the cliffs. Cain will be destroyed when Asher takes you captive.
Once more, he proclaimed his poem.
Ah, who can live when God does this? Ships will come from the coast of Kittim. They will carry out raids against Asher and Eber. But they too will come to destruction.
Balaam then arose and went back to his homeland. And Balak also went his way.
Thank you.
While Israel was staying in the acacia grove, the people began to prostitute themselves with the women of Moab. The women invited them to the sacrifices for their gods, and the people ate and bowed in worship to their gods. So Israel aligned itself with Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that his burning anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses told Israel's judges, "Kill each of the men who aligned themselves with Baal of Peor." An Israelite man came bringing a Midianite woman to his relatives in the sight of Moses and the whole Israelite community while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, saw this, he got up from the assembly, took a spear in his hand, followed the Israelite man into the tent, and drove it through both the Israelite man and the woman, through her belly. Then the plague on the Israelites was stopped. But those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the Israelites because he was zealous among them with my zeal, so that I did not destroy the Israelites in my zeal. Therefore declare, I grant him my covenant of peace. It will be a covenant of perpetual priesthood for him and his future descendants, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the Israelites." The name of the slain Israelite man who was struck dead with the Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of the Simeonite family. The name of the slain Midianite woman was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur, a tribal head of a family in Midian. The Lord told Moses, "Attack the Midianites and strike them dead, for they attacked you with the treachery that they used against you in the Peor incident. They did the same in the case involving their sister Cozbi, daughter of the Midianite leader, who was killed the day the plague came at Peor." Psalm 35. Oppose my opponents, Lord. Fight those who fight me. Take your shields, large and small, and come to my aid. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers and assure me, I am your deliverance. Let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and humiliated. Let those who plan to harm me be turned back and ashamed. Let them be like chaff in the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. They hid their net for me without cause. They dug a pit for me without cause. Let ruin come on him unexpectedly, and let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it, to his ruin. Then I will rejoice in the Lord. I will delight in his deliverance. All my bones will say, "Lord, who is like you?" Rescuing the poor from one too strong for him, the poor or the needy from one who robs him. Malicious witnesses come forward. They question me about things I do not know. They repay me evil for good, making me desolate. Yet when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer was genuine. I went about mourning, as if for my friend or brother. I was bowed down with grief, like one mourning for a mother. But when I stumbled, they gathered in glee. They gathered against me. Assailants I did not know tore at me and did not stop. With godless mockery, they gnashed their teeth at me. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages. Rescue my precious life from their young lions. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will exalt you among many people. Do not let my deceitful enemies rejoice over me. Do not let those who hate me without cause wink at me maliciously. For they do not speak in friendly ways, but contrive fraudulent schemes against those who live peacefully in the land. They open their mouths wide against me and say, "Aha! Aha! We saw it!" You saw it, Lord. Do not be silent. Lord, do not be far from me. Wake up and rise to my defense, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, Lord my God, in keeping with your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Do not let them say in their hearts, "Aha! Just what we wanted." Do not let them say, "We have swallowed him up." Let those who rejoice at my misfortune be disgraced and humiliated. Let those who exalt themselves over me be clothed with shame and reproach. Let those who want my vindication shout for joy and be glad. Let them continually say, "The Lord be exalted. He takes pleasure in his servant's well-being." And my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praise, all day long. I really like hearing from people who enjoy the podcast, so if you're enjoying Commuter Bible, I'd love for you to write a review, send me an email, message me on Facebook, and so on. I'm not just a disembodied voice, I'm a real person. I imagine that you're a real person too and not just a download number, so let me hear from you. Email me at admin@commuterbible.org, tag Commuter Bible in a post, write a review wherever you get your podcasts, or just message me on facebook.com/commuterbible. Today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thanks for listening, and remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.